B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we talk about the delay of one of the most beloved fighting game franchises in the world. Also, Thor Love and Thunder is finished filming, and we are very excited. And also, ARMS. And lastly, the LCS is partnering with some folks about music, and we give you the lowdown on some of the new things to expect. And lastly, the Olympics. They talk to a number of media outlets about what their expectations for esports are. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? How are you feeling? If you guys don't already know, it's Wednesday, so that means we are live right now on Twitch.
If you don't know, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Well, I mean, I never know.
You don't know we're live on Twitch.
If you don't know, it's Wednesday, we're live on Twitch.
I couldn't figure out where the pregnant pause was there. I'm like, if you don't know it's Wednesday, seek help.
Holy shit, Callie.
There's a few times where I wake up in the morning and I do a bunch of stuff, and I'm like,
stop breaking my flow. It's the intro. We're live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. I am here with two charlatans.
I mean, I guess.
I haven't described as a charlatan in a long time.
Callie Scales, hello.
How's it going?
You all right?
You know what? I'm doing good. I had a very nerve-wracking day.
It doesn't matter how you feel. You interrupted me.
Fair enough.
Chad, how are you?
I'm okay, but I'm guessing you're just as angry with me.
No, I'm more mad at Callie today.
Oh, she didn't. She did it to you more than me.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, how's everybody out there? Happy Pride Month as it continues to roll along.
It does. Where are we on? June 2nd?
Yes.
My God, it feels like it's already been a month. It's only been one day, and we've already had a state start attacking trans rights. This is great.
Listen.
Yay. Thank you, Governor DeSantis.
Yay, America.
I just want to say this on behalf of the African-American community, and I'm pretty sure, Chad, on behalf of the gay community and many other people. Callie, welcome to being America's boogeyman.
Woman or boogie person. Yeah, we've been living that life for about three years now, but it's really starting to take off here in the last 6 months or so.
It does feel like,
boy, is it great.
It does feel like there's an extra emphasis on, like, let's attack trans rights this year.
Oh,
for some reason.
Like I said, this country will always need a boogeyman, and it just so happens to be trans people right now.
That's true. There always needs to be some distraction.
Listen,
from something else.
For like
this is it.
100 years, mm-hmm. 100-some-odd years, it was black people, and then the 60s came around, and they were like, shit, what do we do?
There was like a 10-year break where it was Irish people, and then right back to black people.
And then a little bit in the West, it was Chinese people with the railroads and everything, so everybody was mad about that. And then it was like, but them commies.
Then the Red Scare.
And
you know
then it
just
was
been an equal amount of hate. Let's be honest.
No. This ain't every. Listen, Chad. In this country, they took turns.
We all took
because
turns
after the hate. Red Scare, it was gay folks.
Yep. Yeah. AIDS pandemic.
Yep. Then after gay folks, it was black people again.
Yep.
And then it was Middle Eastern people.
Yep. Then it was black people again.
Then it was black people again. And then it was gay people again.
Yep. And now it's trans people.
Yeah. What's next?
Well, actually, this might be the first time where it's actually cishet white men.
Where you can actually say that.
Yeah. America's boogeyman for like in 2018, 2019 was a cishet white dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks to one cishet white dude in particular.
No, that's selection. More of a selection.
Anyway, if you play high school sports in Florida, I'm so sorry.
Donnie Wahlberg, technically it was those people taking turns and black people the whole time. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're not wrong.
Anyway, not to dour everybody's mood, but happy Pride Month.
Oh, yeah. How did we get there? I don't even know how we got there.
Because it's Pride Month and somebody somewhere is mad about it.
From now on, we're going to only celebrate the joys, the triumphs, and successes of LGBT.
Next Wednesday, I'm coming in wearing a trans flag.
Sitting here and just in being negative on Pride Month feels like the opposite of what we should be doing.
Sorry, Volkai in the chat. Like Agatha, it was cishet white dudes all along.
that meme like now.
Jesus.
Volkai, you don't get many, but when you get them, well done.
They hit.
And with that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games.
Holy crap, what am I supposed to do with that? King of Fighters, guys. Okay, King of Fighters 15 has been delayed into 2022. Norris is heartbroken. I can see the tears from here. Norris, tell
no,
us
I'm
about,
not. I
tell,
don't give two fucks about King of Fighters.
I was gonna
no?
say, this game...
I don't know anything about it.
Can I tell you, there's not a whole lot of franchises that make it up to 15.
But let me...
So
here's
there must
the,
be something to it.
Here's the thing. King of Fighters is a series that has always been around. It always has some of my favorite fighting game characters in it. It's a very fun game to play, but 14 and 15 took a departure from 13 and 12, which were like sprite-based. They were really beautiful. Animations were cool, but they were really hard. They
okay.
were really, really hard to master.
King of Fighters traditionally is a little bit easier to pick up and go?
A little bit easier, but 13, 12 and 13 was a departure where it was a little bit harder to get good at those games. And people lost their fucking minds because they suck. And so instead of getting better at the game, a la Street Fighter 4, which is a notoriously hard game to get good at, no, everybody just said... Fuck it. Give us auto combos and one command super combos and let's get 14 frame links and let's just dumb it down for everybody. Let's just make it the stupidest fucking game we could possibly make.
They made it the casual game?
And thus, here we are. King of Fighters 15, a game that I will feel forced to buy simply because I must own all of them. All
right. King of Casuals 15. Got it. That's rough. I'm sorry to hear that. Thor 4 has finished up filming, and while normally we wouldn't talk about a movie finishing filming, there was a quote that came out that made me go, how is that possible?
No, fuck that. There was a picture that came out that showed Chris Hemsworth arms the size of full-grown hogs.
Chris Hemsworth Hell is doing yeah. his, like, SpongeBob workout episode arms. He's, like, walking around
Listen,
on his hands.
He just said he might as well have done the Hulk Hogan, like, when you put your arms around the 48-inch Python's brother. Like, Ooh. His arms are fucking huge.
His arms are terrifyingly big. They look edited.
All right. I'm going to ask this. Like, legit, though. Is Chris Hemsworth juicing? Is he juicing?
I don't think he needs to.
I'm just saying, dude, to get arms that big, those are damn near not natural arms.
That's what I mean.
I don't know how you get arms
edited.
That big.
Like,
it looks like those are not his real arms, man. Those are Jose Canseco arms.
Like, it looks like they did, like, the Thor animation or the Hulk animation to get his arms to bulk up.
Like, those got to be...
Those are terrifying.
Those either got to be prosthetics or digitally altered arms.
He could bench press me any day. Come on,
well,
now.
Well, yeah, obviously, but geez. No, here's the quote that got me really concerned. It's from Taika Waititi, who says that Thor Love and Thunder is, quote, the craziest thing I've ever done. The craziest thing I've ever done. From the man who made Jojo Rabbit, What We Do in the Shadows, Flight of the Conchords. Thor Love and Thunder is the craziest thing you've ever done. You made a movie about a kid who talks to imaginary Hitler, and it won an Oscar.
Yeah.
What on earth is this movie?
I'm excited.
I can't wait.
I can only imagine Thor at some point beats up imaginary Hitler.
Yes! All I wanted!
Hey. You might not be far off. I love it.
Listen, if it's Taika Waititi being an insane person for 2 hours, I'm into it.
I mean,
ready for this movie.
Listen,
what could it be?
This is the same guy who clearly is dating Rita Ora and Tessa Thompson at the same time, who are also dating each other. This man is living his best life right now.
Talk about the dream.
Like, for real. Like, he's out here living his best life, making weird-ass movies, dressing up. You looked it up, didn't you?
No, I'm looking
who
up.
Who did you say he's in the
comments
with?
On this?
Rita Ora and Tessa Thompson. Look it up. Do you think I'm joking?
That's not true.
Omega Waltaw just saying he won.
That's not true. Oh, no.
Yeah. And you see he got the squares? He's smoking cigarettes and shit. He out here. Taika Waititi out here, man. He winning.
Oh, I just found the pictures. Holy crap.
Yep. Look, Robbie Landis, we talking about Taika's making out.
Dude.
Yes.
Taika.
Yes.
He's a hero. He plays the best stormtroopers ever in Star Wars, and then he does this?
Let me tell you something, dog. All right. I know he is a Pacific Islander, but black folks, we claiming him.
We can't just claim him because you want to.
We claim him.
Why not? White people do it all the time. All
right,
nah, he out here, man. But listen,
damn,
I can't wait for this film.
I'm just
it's
a
gonna
gay
be
claiming people.
Is it? Do it.
I mean, come on. We
like y'all don't
already
do that.
Yeah, but that's, there's usually a reason.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, there's
okay,
a reason.
Okay, so we're
for
not
that.
Doing it for no reason. Well, I mean, listen, we got Rita Ora and
Tessa
Thompson together.
Yeah, that's fair.
We can gay claim this. We're good.
Yeah. There you go. See, everybody just won.
It's true. I'm into it. All right. I'm excited about this. All right. The LCS have announced that they are partnering with BMG, the music conglomerate, to provide music for the upcoming LCS Summer Split. Norris, I know nothing about music in any way. And yes, I do work in radio. But why don't you go ahead and tell me why this matters?
First of all, I think this is a good idea because, first and foremost, the LCS and I would say Riot in particular has done so much creating great music around their esport, around their game, around the mythos of League of Legends, and by proxy, Valorant as well. I think by partnering with BMG, which already has a long history in the music industry, I think this is not just a one-way deal. I think this will expand because the LCS now will have access to bespoke music or actual music. It'll be a vessel for which BMG can break artists into sort of this streamer, Gen Z, esports world kind of thing, which a lot of people have been trying to figure out how to do that from a music perspective. Mm-hmm. It legally protects them from online content strikes when they play music, the LCS.
Yep, that's a big move.
It's a huge, 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 huge move when it comes to stuff like that. But the biggest thing is that I think is Riot in particular, I noticed the LCS, but Riot in general, making a relationship with a record label is really smart because if they keep pumping out music like they've been pumping out, I would not be surprised until one of their digital groups really blows up with backing from a BMG or a Universal.
How long until KDA is signed to BMG?
Next year.
That's what I mean. Like, that's got to be, like, the end goal, right?
Next year.
Oh, my gosh.
I see it. And I think that's brilliant because, for me, obviously, record labels are not don't mean as what they meant when we were coming up, right? It used to be a thing where so-and-so signs to this big music label, and that means they're getting all these millions of dollars and so on and so forth. It doesn't necessarily function that way anymore to sign a record deal. However, they still have massive distribution deals. They front money for you to go on tour when mm-hmm. tours come back. They allow you to get on music festival rosters. They are able to put you on their YouTube channels where they can push your videos out and blow you up that way. So there's still a massive marketing machine behind these record labels that really could push something Riot does into a whole new sort of vertical that they never experienced before.
By the way, did you see that Distant Worlds resumes touring in August?
I can't wait.
How nice. Nice to hear.
Are they come? Please come. Please come to Detroit.
I think they have a Chicago stop.
Damn it!
Yeah. They never come to Detroit anymore. I miss it when they would come to Detroit. Another bit of LCS news that comes along with this is, at least for the time being, it is confirmed that the import rule is not going anywhere or changing.
Good. Listen, the import rule is, again, something we have debated on this very show.
A lot.
I don't think it's something that necessarily has helped. I think evidenced by MSI. Doesn't really matter. I think there does need to be a further emphasis on what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be a further emphasis on collegiate, obviously, and a further emphasis on the amateur scene because, just bringing in. I mean, we brought in the winningest player in Western League of Legends history in Perks. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do much of shit. Mm-hmm. So what is the import rule, really?
I take this to mean that the status quo is good enough and nothing's ever going to change. That's my takeaway from this. This is them saying viewership numbers are fine. We are happy with the amount that we're seeing, and we don't have to be better.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. I just think they don't know how to properly do it. If you expand the import rule and then it essentially becomes, a Chinese-Korean league with very little Western players because, let's be honest, if you could pick a mid-tier player from LCK, they would be a top-tier player in the LCS. So
don't get me wrong.
I think for marketability, that makes the league suffer.
Don't get me wrong. I look at the announcement that nothing is changing with the import rule, and I'm fine with that on its face. If you think there's a better way, I'm all for it. But you didn't announce a better way. You didn't say, here's what we're going to do instead. Here's what we're going to do to become competitively viable instead. It's just more of the same. Awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I look forward to being at, the first three out at Worlds this year. It'll be a good time.
All right. Well, with that said, that's going to be it for part one. On part two, we're going to be talking about the Olympics and what their plans for esports are. And maybe you might be a little disappointed. We're going to be right back with more Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard here alongside Chad Callahan and Callie Scales. Don't forget to go to the website to check out all of our cool happenings, our cool content that we have on there, as well as check out all of our other shows, the other identity, Checkpoint XP on campus, the College Esports Update, and more. Now, the Olympics is the Olympic year. In case everyone forgot. And Chad, you came across a story that let us know just how the Olympic Committee felt about esports.
Oh, boy.
Now, the IOC sport director has come out in an interview with The Verge.
Yeah.
And said, I think it's fair to say that we remain sport-based and sport-focused organization.
Okay.
We're looking to keep the Olympic virtual series focused around sports titles. Two things about that. The Olympic Virtual Series, which is their esport wing of the Olympics, so to speak, those are not medaled. That is not a medal competition.
No,
whoever
wins,
it's
a demonstration event.
Demonstration
entertainment,
sports,
let's be honest.
So that does not add into anyone's medal count.
Nope.
And nobody really knows where the fuck to watch it.
Well, first of all, what do you mean you want to keep it centered around sports titles? FIFA?
Yes.
Like, how many? Like,
why?
The picture that they're using, because they don't have any lists of what which ones they're talking about. The picture that they're using for this is Gran Turismo.
Yeah. Sure.
Driving games.
Driving sims, but real sport.
Yeah.
Is what they would deem real sport.
Traditional sports.
Traditional sports.
That's incredibly short-sighted, isn't it?
I mean, why not use Mario Olympics at this point? Let's be honest.
I mean, because at this point, here's the thing that continues to infuriate me about the IOC is the fact that they have a huge groundswell and undercurrent beneath them talking about doing this, right? And I'm not necessarily saying that they need to go out and do it this year, right? I understand that there are some things you got to work out, because when it does come to the Olympics, you do want to talk about, okay, we want the athletes to be amateurs, but the argument against that is, well, NBA players can be on an Olympic team. Professional soccer players can be on your Olympic soccer team.
Right.
So that gets thrown out the window. Then the other excuse was, oh, you know, we want to make sure that there's a lack of violence and all those other things, which I understand, but then have fucking shooting.
There's Rocket League. Let's play something.
So there are some things that I understand the level of sort of sophistication they want to approach it.
Yeah.
But after a certain amount of time, it's excuses. Well, and they should just come out and say, we don't want to do it, and let everybody move the fuck on.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, I get why you don't want to play Call of Duty at the Olympics, right? I totally understand that. But that you don't want to play StarCraft or Rocket League, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Even StarCraft, because with StarCraft, you're just like, ooh, it's armies and aliens
fighting.
But if you say, all right, you got Rocket League, you got FIFA, you got Gran Turismo, you got the F1 games, you got any sports-based games, you also have, you know, a couple MOBAs, but I can even understand if you didn't want to do MOBAs. Fine. There's still four or five esports you could play Olympic level.
This, to me, though, again, just reeks of old white men in a stuffy room not wanting to change.
No.
It is the mentality the Olympics have carried forever, which is, we are above that. We don't have to change. We will survive on our own existence. We will survive on being the Olympics. And I doubt it.
By the way,
the Olympics are boring. Most
these
often.
Are the same people who added snowboarding to the Olympics, kicking and screaming.
Oh,
like
got you.
By the way, what
do people actually watch when it comes to the Winter Olympics?
Snowboarding. And the luge.
Well, we all know why people watch the luge,
yes,
though.
Yes, to see people almost die.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and figure skating. People do watch Olympic figure skating.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's old people making old decisions at this point. I'm sorry that you don't feel right having StarCraft or something like that in your event, but it's one of the most played games in the world, and you should have it at this point. The Olympics are supposed to reflect athletic competition in the world, and I'm sorry that you don't want to hear it, but esports have become one of the main athletic competitions of a younger generation. So if you care at all about that younger generation, you want to keep getting younger and moving forward, you better get on with the fucking picture.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. I think at this point, one of the big things that they're going to say, and I know a lot of people in esports sometimes don't want to hear this, is how do we make money? How do we sell that to certain sponsors? Now, certain ones are on board.
Yeah, Visa, MasterCard.
The State Farms of the world, they on board, right?
Right.
Visa, MasterCard, that's fine. But these are the same people. Again, you illustrated it perfectly, right, Callie. These are the same people who don't want baseball in the Olympics, even though baseball is a world sport.
It is.
Right? Didn't want snowboarding. Didn't want skateboarding. Right. Didn't want fucking taekwondo. Is an Olympic sport, okay?
That's
like,
what I mean.
come on.
And if you don't think you can sell it, I would argue you're not paying attention. Bud Light, Coke, Pepsi, Red Bull, like, your major sponsors for the Olympics already do sponsor esports.
And so I'm going to answer a question we have in the chat from Donnie Wahlberg. Isn't the Olympics supposed to be not-for-profit in that regard? Whatever, you wrote that wrong, the last part. But anyway, it shouldn't be gatekeeping on how is it popular or profitable. First of all, it's on TV. You got
to
sell it.
That's what I mean. For the country itself, no, it doesn't have to be popular or profitable, and it frequently isn't.
No.
Or in fact, I'm pretty sure it never is.
It always costs money.
But you better believe that NBC, who paid out the ass for those rights, are going to make money on it.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why gymnastics comes on prime time.
Correct.
Track and field comes on prime time. The basketball gold medal game comes on prime time.
Skeet shooting comes on 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Correct.
Man, I can't wait for the moment that we're going to talk about the Olympic FIFA loot boxes, how that scandal is going to turn out. That's going to be a real good one. I'm predicting that in the next month.
Yeah, and listen, Donnie, I agree with you that popularity or choosing the sport shouldn't factor in that way, but it simply does. And to say that that's not a part of it, I think is a lie. But I think the biggest thing here is simply they do not want to capitulate to the fact that esports has grown so exponentially from one Olympics to the next one. By the way, we've never seen that. We've never seen a sport grow so fast from one Olympics to the other ones. Because even with skateboarding and snowboarding that other stuff, over a decade.
That's what I mean. You could maybe argue X Games 92 to 96, but like...
But skateboarding has been around since the 70s.
I know. Like, never like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, never have we seen over the course of, and really, let's be honest, over the course of, like, 5 years.
And that's the other thing. Remember the X Games, while it did explode in popularity over the course of about 10 years, mostly in America.
Mm-hmm.
Esports has exploded worldwide.
Worldwide.
There's every country in the world, effectively.
We're the last motherfuckers to get it. Like, in one of the strengths, it's just like, again, like soccer, we are the last motherfuckers to the show. So,
yeah, we are.
So, you know, in this sense, it continues to frustrate me with about the Olympic Games. And listen, I'm just going to be honest. Even if you don't want to do the whole five different esports, just pick one.
No,
pick one.
Pick one. Make it a medal event. Wait, see that it gets some of the best numbers of the entire event, and then next time do more.
Because I'm going to tell you this.
Because
you put Rocket League in the Olympics, that shit would do numbers, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine them chats It's going to be so racist.
It's going to be toxic.
It's going to be awful. But it's going to be the most activity they've ever gotten on an online stream ever.
Yeah. No, Rocket League would be crazy numbers, right?
Crazy.
I'll put this one out there, even though I'd be pissed if it's the one they picked. You put Dota out there. Like, not in America, it's not going to do crazy numbers, but
it
worldwide.
Would make sense.
Yeah.
It would make sense.
Between Russia and China.
Between Russia, China, the whole Asian Pacific region. Yep. Oh, yep. Yeah. It's going to do crazy numbers.
Yeah. So I think that the IOC is taking a. It's not, again, because they're doing that weird thing where it's like, we're not saying no, but they're basically saying no.
It kind of feels like they're backtracking. Yeah. It feels like when they announced that there was like this huge, like, we're excited that they're going to have esports at the Olympics. And then it's like, but really, we want to make it sports centric.
Listen. It's them doing what they always do. At the end of the day, make sure the kids sit at the kids' table.
Yep.
That's what it is. Of course you get invited to Thanksgiving dinner. You're part of the family. Come on in. Here's the kids' table. You're going to sit with your little cousins. You're going to keep them in line while we have the adult time at our table.
You know, it's more of like picking and choosing who's going to come to. It's like, all right, you have your whole class and like only five of them are allowed to come to Thanksgiving. That's really it.
There you go.
Yeah, so the Olympic Virtual Series is one of those things that is going to be going on. Apparently, it's already begun. Again, like I said, nobody fucking knows where.
I'm torn if I want this thing to just flop.
Yeah.
Or if I want it to be the most popular thing at the event.
It won't be, because here's the events. Gran Turismo, Zwift, which is a cycling game. Konami's E-Baseball Powerful Pro Baseball 2012. That's the title. E-Baseball Powerful Pro Baseball.
One more time. Give me that name.
E-Baseball Powerful Pro Baseball 2020.
Are they setting us up to fail?
Yes.
Is this a conspiracy here?
Yes.
They want to be like, see, we tried. And then it's going to be like, oh, but it didn't work out, so we're going to abandon this.
Yes. That's absolutely what this is.
I jokingly said earlier they should play Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. I'm going back to that. They actually should play Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey instead of that.
That is 100% what this is. The fact that, look, we picked some esports and nobody watched it. Therefore...
You didn't pick any esports. You picked a bunch of games no one's ever heard of.
Yep, that's 100% what that is. Fuck the IOC and fuck FIFA too. Jeez. Anyway, with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. Don't forget, we'll be here tomorrow for the Thursday episode. And if you're watching us on stream, we're going to be doing that episode in just a few moments. So make sure you guys always tune in every Wednesday around 2 p.m. Eastern time for those streams. For Chad Callahan and Callie Scales, I'm your host, Norris Howard, and we'll see y'all later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.